John chapter 3. We are still in a series on our fruit of the Spirit, and I'm excited about this. I have enjoyed doing this, and this morning we're talking about meekness. What does it mean to be meek? And the title of the message is Meek is Not Weak. Meek is not weak. We're going to get into the Word. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to meet us. Father, help us today. Let your Word, this is your truth. This is life-changing. Father, worship is for you. Worship is what we bring and give to you. Your Word is what you give to us to help us be like you. So, Father, let the hearts, let our soil and our lives be prepared to receive truth, Lord God, that it might grow in us and make us more like Jesus. Thank you for your presence. In your name, amen and amen. We are still digging in our series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we took some time last week and we talked about faithfulness. And when we broke down the Greek and the Hebrew and the definitions of it, it meant this. In the Greek, it was trustworthiness, reliability, and in the Hebrew, it was firmness or to be stable in. And we said that this, God desires to create in us, in you and in me, a spirit of trustworthiness, a spirit of reliability, that God can trust us, that God can count on us, rely on us, and we are stable in our pursuit. And I think stable there, in the context that it's used, means this, that there's a level of maturity that we walk with. Okay, you with me? How many know that walking is an important part of faith? You see, Jesus, when he called Joshua to go to Jericho and combat Jericho, what did they do for the first 6 days? They walked. You know why? Because God is saying, if you want to follow me and see me do in your life what you hope I want to do in your life, you've got to learn how to walk right. You've got to walk. You've got to walk in obedience. You've got to walk. He said, oh, first 6 days, don't, nothing. You just walk, just march and let the people go. But on the seventh, you got to shout. And God wants us to learn how to walk right. And that's what he's kind of talking about. Faithfulness, that in our daily living, in our daily walk, that we will learn how to walk with God. A couple of weeks ago, I heard a guy, he explained it this way. He said this, I've heard people say they're revival church. We're revival church. We're revival church. And he goes, I always have a little confusion with that because here's the thing. Dead things need revived, but once they're revived, they should walk right. He said, Lazarus, you know, was in the tomb and they called him out and he came out and his hands were tied and his feet were tied. He had the death cloth on his face, and they said they untied him. He was loosened. They're all jumping and shouting and enjoying. Oh, thank God he's alive. They didn't say, oh, that was awesome. Go back in there. Let's do it again. He said, God revives you, and once you're revived, God says, walk right. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about trustworthy, reliable, firm in, stable in. And God creates that through us and in us with the working of the Holy Spirit. And spiritual fruit is only grown in obedience. So if we are walking contrary to God, if we are living with areas of our lives that are not God's and we've kind of held on to them and our flesh is at work, what kind of fruit do you think we're bearing in that? Fruit of the flesh, right? And it's an amazing thing. It's kind of, you don't realize it's growing until it blossoms. It's an amazing thing, but as we move in obedience to the Holy Spirit, responding to what we feel Him stir, responding to what we feel Him say, the seeds of faithfulness are sown into our lives. And the thing is, when God looks at faith and God looks at us, God sees it as a total commitment, not an intellectual exercise or experiment. It's not a dynamic of how much you know. We talked about this, that you have to have a knowledge peg, that you know what God is saying, but you have an experience peg that you hang on it. Both are mature. You have all this experience and no knowledge, you're not mature. You have all of this knowledge and no experience, you're not mature. It takes both to be mature. And we tend to be faithful to what we value in our families, our jobs, those kind of things are the things that we tend to be faithful to. And we looked at Peter in John 21, where Jesus had had been crucified. He had come back. He had been seen by the disciples a couple of times. They're still trying to wrap their heads around everything that's going on. And Peter one day said, I'm going back fishing. And several of them went with him. He went back to what he had known. He went back to a simpler life. He went back to what was comfortable for him, what was ordinary for him. And Jesus goes and meets him on the shore and asks him one very simple question. Do you love me more than these? Now, we know that in the scriptures, they say some people believe he was talking to the disciples. There are other people who believe he was talking about the boat and the net and referencing to Peter, do you love me more than you love a regular life? Will you love me more than you love average or ordinary or simple or easy? Do you love me more than any of that, all of that? Because Jesus needed to know, are you willing to leave all and to take up your cross and follow me? Because if every time it gets hard, if every time it gets challenging, are you going to want to run back to the ordinary? If every time someone betrays you or betrays your trust, are you going to want to quit and go back to the simple life? Because Peter, you've got to hold me at a greater importance than anything else in your life, because I know what I desire to do in you and through you. And there's some healing that's got to take place. And that's what Jesus did on the shore that day. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus asked the same thing in you and the same thing of me. Will you love me more than these? Because I know what I have for your life. And I know that there's going to be people who betray you and people who reject you. And I know that there's going to be situations that take a turn that you don't think is a planned turn, but I'm in control and I know what I'm doing. And every time it gets hard, are you going to want to fall back? Are you going to want to go back? Are you going to want to run back to that simpler life when it was simpler? And you know what? Isn't it amazing how when we think often of a simpler life, it didn't feel so simple in the time? You kind of go through your day and you're like, man, we have challenges, we have things we work through. But 5-10 years down the road, we go, man, that was good old days. People say, oh, my high school, oh, I love being in high school. And we've had, you know, two daughters now that come through high school and are in college. And one, and I always say, guys, enjoy your high school years because you're going to look back on them and you're really going to value them. And, oh, Dad, high school girls are so funny. And, you know, you just don't understand. Well, I've never been a girl. I don't understand, you know. And so, but all of a sudden they're like, man, high school is so easy. Looking back, and in the moment, it didn't feel that easy. It's an amazing thing, but you've got to realize this, that Jesus asked the same thing from us. And Jesus is committing to building the character in you and to planting and maturing faith in you. And Jesus is not going to lose interest, and Jesus is not going to get tired. He's not going to quit when it gets hard or move to another person because you're too hard to work with. Jesus is faithful. He doesn't begin a good work without finishing it. God is faithful to us. And so he gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will always be faithful to the Father. And as you and I listen to the Holy Spirit and are obedient to the Holy Spirit and walk with the Holy Spirit, we in our lives are being faithful to the Father as well. God has set this up for us to win. So that's very exciting. So that was kind of last week. We're building off of that into this week. And I'm going to read you Galatians 5:22-23 again, because that's kind of the fruit of the Spirit verses that we're using as a foundation. It says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Now, some of you, when you're reading this, if you're reading on the screen, you got what I got. But if you're reading it in your Bible, where it says gentleness, the very first beginning of 23, your Bible might say meekness. So I want to address that a little bit. So here's the thing. Meekness is probably the truer definition of what they're talking about here, but these words, meekness and gentleness, when you get into them, are so closely interwoven in use and in meaning that sometimes, depending on the translation, they used one or they used the other. So if you have a Bible that says meek or a Bible that says gentleness, you're okay. You don't have a broken Bible. All right? You're going to be okay. Now, the word in the Greek is this. It's praoutes, which means to submit one's strength in a posture of meekness. To submit one's strength, meaning this. You've got a will. You've got a determination. There are things that we can choose and do and be in our lives by our own strength, our own mind, and our own desire. But to come in and to be gentle, to come in with a spirit of meekness is to submit your strength, your ability, your will, your drive to the posture of meekness. So we're to be meek, first of all, in our relationship to God, which is this, yielded. I'm to be surrendered. It's never to be a tug of war with God and I on who's going to get his way. We come in and say, God, let me decrease that you might increase. God, if you say go right, I'm going right. If you say go left, I'm going left. If you say stop, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to argue. God, I yield my life to you. It is to be yielded. It is also to be teachable, to realize God's still growing all of us up. We've got to be teachable. There are sometimes things that we've got to unlearn so that we can learn the things that God's desiring to teach us. Yielded, we've got to be teachable. And the last thing, we've got to be responsive, which means simply this, be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. To me, that's the foundation of this whole fruit of the Spirit. That's the foundation of this whole series that we're in. When you peel it all back and everything is said and everything is done, you come to this reality. When God stirs your heart, move with him. Just do what the Lord is asking you to do. So yielded, teachable, responsive in our relationship to God. And we're also to be meek one to another, which is humble. Don't act like you know it all, because you don't. But don't neglect that God has taught you things that you can use to bless somebody else. We've got to be humble. We've also got to be gentle, and we've got to be respectful in our relationship one to another. See, it's the only way that for this to truly happen in us is for the Holy Spirit to be at work in us and for us to be responsive to him. So when we first started this series, we talked about how God does everything based in love. Now, meekness is an important part of love. How many of you are going to love well? About seven of you. I feel sorry for your spouses. The rest of you, you know, it's going to be a bummer. Now, we all want to love well. We all want to love, and meekness is an important part of love. Why? Because love is patient, and love is kind, and love is not jealous or boastful or proud. It's not rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Meekness is an important part of love. Jesus valued meekness. He says in Matthew 5:5, blessed are what? This is what, the meek, for what happens? For they shall inherit the earth. That's what it says. So while meekness and gentleness are often interchanged in different translations, they do have slightly different definitions for each of them. Gentleness tends to refer to actions, that what you do, do with a gentle spirit. What you say, say with a gentle spirit. What you have to engage in, do so carefully, understanding the value of who you're working with and how God feels about that person or that situation. Gentleness has to do with action. Meekness has to do with attitude. Do it with the right heart. Do it with the right spirit. You know, listen, there's, y'all know I'm a foodie. I love food. I think food is love. I do, man. You can go eat food somewhere and it's just food, but you can tell when someone made something with love. Do you know what I'm talking about? And there's something, and it really is. Y'all can laugh at me and mock at me and say, oh, the fat pastor likes food. Yes, I do. There is love in food. And I believe, I don't care where you go anywhere in the world, whatever culture you are dealing with, there is a food, there is something that they cook or create that shares their heart with you. And when you eat it, there is something exchanged. And I love it. And I think God loves food. God broke bread with people. I think there's a time to fast and pray, but thank God there's a time to stuff your face. And I think both are very spiritual. They're both very, very good. So here's the thing. Gentleness refers to actions. Meekness talks about the attitudes of our hearts. So often, meekness produces gentleness. That when the attitude of my heart is right, the actions that flow out of my heart are going to be more like him. More like Christ and more like God. But meekness is not weakness. Can you look at your neighbor and say that? Meekness is not weakness. You see, we live in a day that it feels like that sometimes. We live in a day that if somebody slaps you on one side of the cheek, you've got to drop kick them and run them over with your car. You know, that honestly, isn't that the kind of ones that you don't take anything from anybody? Everyone's so easily offended. We don't live in a meek society. We live in a society that'll cut your throat and watch you bleed. That's what's going on. But here's the thing. Meekness is not weakness. We live in a day that honestly, that if someone wrongs you or says something about you or does something to you, that not only are you expected to come back angry or respond in an angry way, but if you don't, something's wrong. It's an amazing thing. And if you don't, you're afraid, or you can be seen as a pushover or a weak person in our society or a weak person in your job or in your home or whatever it is. But here's the thing. We know that true strength is shown when someone who is secure in who they are doesn't lose their temper and react, but rather responds in truth in a way that betters and in a way that heals. We talk about it in our house. We talk about in our office. I say this all the time. Hey, let's respond, not react. Let's respond and not react. This is what Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Have you ever found that scripture to be true? So respond, don't react. Reactions are often so much based in emotion and purely emotional. And the truth is, you can't always trust your emotions. So to react in our emotion is not always a wise thing to do. Response allows for time to think. Response allows for us to be able to say, God, what do you desire to be done here? What do you desire to be said here? And Father, how do you want me to move forward in this? So I'm not going to react to something. I'm going to respond to it. Responding, not reacting, gives time for the fruit of the Spirit to be involved. And don't we need that? Don't we need more love and more joy and more peace and more patience and more kindness? And if you want it out there, you got to start it in here. That's where it's got to hit. Matthew 11:29, Jesus said this, and when you respond and don't react and you give time for the fruit of the Spirit to be involved, that is how God can be honored in every situation. Because when I stand back and say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to love? And how do you want me to handle this? And I do it His way and the way His word teaches, then God is seen in it. And healing comes and strength comes and God is honored in those things. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And he says this, but I don't know if you caught it. When he says it, he says this, you've got to learn from me. That's what the verse says, learn from me. Because you know why? This isn't our natural reaction, is it? Our natural reaction is look out for number one. Our natural reaction is get even. Our natural reaction is tear down the threats and crush all those who oppose you. That's our natural reaction. Jesus, you can't go through life doing that kind of thing and representing me. So you're going to have to learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. And when you learn from me, I'm going to be able to respond to life. I'm going to be able to respond to people. I'm going to be able to respond to situations in a gentle way, in a humble way, and in a way that I love this, that they will find rest for their souls. Jesus didn't just deal with the flesh. He always dealt with the spirit as well, didn't he? And he says, we can do the same thing. So learn from him. God desires gentleness and meekness. God desires the right action with the right attitude. And you will need to know, and someone will be relieved by this, that it's not something you can do on your own in your own flesh. Because you've been trying, and maybe you've been trying to be that person, to be that person at work, or be that person in your home, and always respond in the nice, kind, loving, gentle way. But you know what? Your flesh trips up, and you're like nice about 75% of the time. You ever had someone like that? They're like nice most of the time, but you kind of go in and you're always kind of checking the temperature of the room. Hey, are they in a good mood today? I don't know. I had a boss like that once. I would always talk to the secretary. I said, did he have his coffee? Yeah. Did he fight with his wife, get a speeding ticket on the way to work, anything? No, he's good. All right, I'm going to go in and see him then. It's an amazing thing. We can't do it without the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. That's the thing. The fruit of the Spirit is about the character of Christ in us. The gifts of our spirit are about the power and the anointing of God on us. and through us. We need both of these at work, and we have to respond to obedience to those. So Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, he's addressing an issue of the Spirit, and here's what happened. He has gone in, people were saved, the church was established, things were going well, but they have been slowly kind of slipping back into an old life. Slowly, they've been kind of getting back into the flesh, doing the wrong action with the wrong attitude, and Paul addresses it in Galatians 5:15. He says, listen, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Paul is speaking to this thing, and this is why he's talking about faithfulness, and this is why he's talking about meekness and gentleness. He says, you've got to be careful. And in Galatians 5:13 and 14, Paul lays out how to combat that spirit inside of us. And he says instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Don't be frustrated, don't be angry, but use the freedom and the liberty that you have to love one another, serve one another. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what is it? Well, that's action and that's attitude. That's what he's talking about. Have the right actions and do it with the right attitude. He then says in Galatians 5:16, So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So what is the fruit of walking in the Spirit? Well, it's lives or living lives that listen to what the Holy Spirit says, what it stirs, and then being obedient to it. That's what he's talking about. And that's where you produce Galatians 5:22, 23 in your lives. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. And why is there no law against these things? Because they are the heart and the nature of God. And the truth of the matter is we all crave for these things. We want to give it and we want to receive it. So how do I start? Well, Peter tells us that in Acts 2:38. He says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So here's what he's saying. Listen, if my life is not right or in right standing with God, it blocks the flow of the Holy Spirit in me. And I can long for something, but be what stands in the way of me receiving it. But when I get in right standing with God, when I'm in alignment with Him, the Holy Spirit comes, and He comes in power, and my life can be changed, and the fruit of the Spirit can be sown in my life and grown in my life. And then to continue bearing fruit in my life, I need to remain in Him. He says that in John 15:1-8, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
But if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. How's the world going to know that we walk with Christ? Because we have the fruit of the Spirit at work in us in a way that is producing fruit in us, and in a way that it's going out of our lives to others. We're filled up to flow out. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about having that spirit of gentleness, having that spirit of meekness, because we listen to the Holy Spirit and we get in alignment with the Holy Spirit. We don't let the world pull us to the right or pull us to the left. And if we're here this morning and there's a part of our lives that we're not right with God, he says, get right with me so you can get in alignment with me so that I can work in you and through you, and you'll see your life in a way you've never seen it before. And the world will look and know that you're mine. That's what he's saying to us. The power to gentleness and the power to meekness, as well as the power to the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, is in the power of remaining. This past week, Dustin, we do staff every Tuesday. So if you call on a Tuesday between 10 and noon and don't get us, we just didn't feel like talking to you. No, That's not true. We have our staff meeting, and we're all in there, and we take turns doing devotions. This past week, Dustin shared a devotion, and when it was done, I told him, hey, that was good. I'm probably going to steal that. And so I'm giving you some stolen stuff, but it's good. John 1, 32 and 33, and it says this, and John gave his testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove. What's it say? And remain on him. Jesus had come and said, I need to be baptized. And John said, no, who am I to baptize you? And Jesus said, well, you're the guy I'm asking to baptize me. And so John baptized him. And when he was, the Holy Spirit came as a dove and landed on him, and it remained on him. He said, I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you will see the Spirit come down in a second time and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Jesus in the New Testament brought this whole new paradigm to us of ministry, because typically it wasn't just a moment thing, it was a remaining presence. Now, in the Old Testament, you saw a lot of season times. God would raise someone up to do a certain task, and when the task was done, then God would raise up someone else to do something else. And that kind of was the flow through the Old Testament. Well, you come to the New Testament, and all of a sudden, it's different. Jesus comes and shows that the Holy Spirit can come, and it can remain. And he shows that this is a lifestyle because the Holy Spirit remained on him. So we know that the Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us who's born again, and any who have accepted him as Lord and Savior. But here's the thing. We don't always live our lives in a way that he has the freedom to move in and through us. Jesus says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but if we aren't giving him full control, if we aren't surrendering our lives to him, then there may be areas of our life that we are pushing the Holy Spirit out and saying, this is mine. And the Holy Spirit will only stay where he's welcomed. He can only remain where you let him. The Holy Spirit will remain where he feels welcome, be it in our church, be it in our hearts, be it in our families, be it in our homes. Bill Johnson, in his book, Hosting the Presence, says it this way. I often ask people, what would they do if an actual dove landed on their shoulder? How would they walk around a room or even go about their day if they didn't want the dove to fly away? He said, the most common answer is carefully, and it's a good answer, but it's not enough. It is this, every step must be taken with the dove in mind. This is what I believe to be the key to the Spirit that remains. He is the single greatest reference point, not only for direction and power in ministry, but actually for life itself. We have been chosen to carry the presence of God. My. One day in a staff meeting, we were all sitting there, and all of a sudden a bird flew out of my chimney. And we're just having staff. I mean, it's just normal, just kind of roll. And a bird flew out of my chimney. And I don't want to mention Becky's name, but there was someone in that office who almost killed everyone else in that office to get out of that office. It was almost, I don't know if there's any Seinfeld fans here, but it was almost like the Seinfeld where there was a fire in the kitchen and George ran over the woman with the walker. It was kind of one of those moments. Listen, I know that the whole bird thing is kind of silly, but can we just take a minute and sit on that a little bit? Do you want the Holy Spirit to remain in you? Do you want the Holy Spirit to be at work inside of you? Do you want the Holy Spirit to be the leading guide of your life? And that I want God to lead me, and I want to know what he wants me to do, and I want to be able to respond to it. If a bird came and the Holy Spirit lit on your shoulder and you said, I don't want to lose this. I've lived without this before, and it's not all it's cracked up to be. I want to keep the Spirit. I want it to remain in my heart and work in my heart, but I've got to go through life. And wouldn't you walk different? Wouldn't you talk different? Wouldn't you give yourself to different things and guard the Spirit? I wouldn't hang around crazy people. Shh, I got a bird on my shoulder. It's amazing. But that's what God is saying. Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came like a bird and lit on his shoulder, and it remained. And Jesus was able to walk in a way that it never flew away. And he says, if I can do it, you can do it. Some of us might need to change the way we walk. Some of us might need to change the way we talk and change the way we do things. See, when we walk in the Spirit, we will bear the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness or meekness, whatever your Bible says, and self-control. And when I don't, I'm going to walk in the flesh and I'm going to bear the fruit of the flesh. And he gives us in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. He said, I'm not even going to give you a word. I'm going to tell you what it is. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. When you walk in your life with the bird on your shoulder and you adjust the way you walk and the way you talk to remain in that, you're going to bear the love, joy, peace, patience, that. But when you walk with your own flesh and you walk in the way you want to walk, these are the things that's going to lead you to. And I'm telling you, birdie, fly away. We need to be people that welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we need to be people that welcome the Holy Spirit in our church, because where the Holy Spirit is, he bears fruit. And we're told in John 15 that it will bear fruit that remains. We can only be as gentle, we can only be as meek as the Holy Spirit develops spiritual fruit in our lives. And so, folks, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. We need right action with right attitude to be what God is calling us to be and to experience what God is calling us to. So meek is not weak. And gentle is not a pushover. They are the heart of God. And God desires to grow them in you through the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's let our lives be open to him.
Thank you for listening to this week's First Assembly podcast. If you've ever been impacted by a First Assembly service, we would love to hear about it. To share what God is doing in your life, be sure to email us at amen@firstassembly.org. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.